Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Tuesday to one and all. It is Taz the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way. Bogish with your update. 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 Pacific. We go right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. What's up, Taz? How you doing, bro?
Good, good, good. Moose doing good. Hope you're good. We got a packed show, as you know, man, for the next 3 hours. Sure, a couple of great guests also.
Yeah, we do. Randy Cross will join us coming up at the end of the second hour. And the end of the third hour, we're going to talk to Tim Neverett, Red Sox play-by-play broadcaster, a radio play-by-play broadcaster for the Boston Red Sox. Game one of the World Series. Up at Fenway Park later on tonight between the Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox as the Fall Classic does get underway, which should be a tremendous scene with the two historic baseball teams in great history between the Dodgers and the Red Sox, not individually against one another, but just overall of what their impact on the game and going up against one another in the Fall Classic. Fox executives have got to be fired up. It should be a good one.
I think so. I think it's going to be a real good one. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too. So, and I'm sure the bulk of our audience is looking forward. If you're not a baseball fan, if you're a casual Major League Baseball fan, this time of year, especially now at the World Series right here, you know, kicking off tonight, you got to be a baseball fan. You got to watch. You got to check it out. And I'm sure a lot of people segueing out of baseball were watching a little NFL football last night because we saw the Falcons take down the Giants. And the Giants, they got one win, Moose. I never thought this would happen.
Yeah, 1-6. through 7 weeks of the NFL season as they fall last night down in Atlanta, 23-20. And, you know, a number of ways to go, you know, for the Giants. I mean, the season was pretty much over before the game, you know, even began last night as a 1-5 football team. The odds of them playing consistent enough football, but now, I mean, it might be the last shovel of the dirt on the casket as they lose 23-20 and all the drama with Odell Beckham Jr. as he does the fake mooning to Randy Moss before the game. remember, Moss did it as a Minnesota Viking in Green Bay when he was taking on the Green Bay Packers after scoring a touchdown. I remember there was a Fox game, and Joe Buck was like basically astonished that
he
did that. Right?
What's he doing?
Like he said, it was like one of the worst things he's ever seen. But anyway,
attending the moon again.
So yeah, he did that, and then you get to the game last night, which you know not all that surprising. The Giants defense played pretty well in the second half. The second half, the bow first half, I should say, bow broke in this half number two. Giants offensively, you know. Efficiency in the red zone, not particularly good. Yeah. Going for two late. Clock management late.
There's a lot
of issues when you look at the Giants.
There definitely is. I mean, and I think there are a lot of issues. The first issue, in my opinion, I know you might have brought it up first here on our show a couple of weeks ago, maybe, once we saw that the Giants were not going to be dominant in the NFC East, was that offensive line. And that offensive line, they got some issues there. I mean, and Nate Solder at left tackle spot, and he's next to Hernandez, who's a rookie. Nate Solder's a veteran. You know, this guy's making millions of dollars. I got to tell you, you got to step up, Nate. You got to do a better job here. You know, you're not exactly going against Khalil Mack. I mean, so it's like you got to do a better job. Not just him, but the whole O-line. There's no push. There's no push off the ball. There's no explosion off the snap. It's just nothing there. And Eli Moose, I mean, he made a lot of good throws. He threw for close to almost 400 yards, 1 yard short of 400 yards. He was 27-38. But the thing is, the guy is under pressure nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
He is. And Solder played poorly last night. Offensive line has been an issue. And that's with the Giants changing up the center and the left guard last night as well, switching around some guys.
Right.
And their offensive line still struggled against a defensive front. They've got Vic Beasley Jr. But not a tremendous defensive pass rush. what they shoot, what they've shown through the first 6 weeks of the NFL regular season. And as is the custom, any team that goes up against the Giants, they seem to find a pass rush and can get after the quarterback because the offensive line has played so poorly. You hit about Solder. I think you got to be leery of signing Patriot players when Bill Belichick decides not to. Maybe you saw a little bit of a drop-off in him a year ago. The Giants were desperate for a left tackle after experiencing Eric Flowers last year, and I'm sure they overpaid for him, but they were desperate. They were trying to be relevant this season, and he's been, I mean, he's been just as bad as Flowers was at times. He really has getting dominated, bull-rushed, speed rush on the outside, lack of communication. There's a lot of issues with Nate Solder at the left tackle spot, and that looks like a contract that the Giants are going to be they're going to look back on with great regret.
Some regret. Yeah, regret.
No question about it, based on the way that Solder's played year one in a big blue uniform.
No, I know, Moose, I agree. And, you know, the thing is, I remember when they made that move with, you know, getting sold, I'm like, you know, on paper, and it seemed like the right thing to do. Even looking back, you would think, it's not bad. You get a guy, a veteran, knows what he's doing, play under the Pat system forever. I'll take him. You know, I mean, how bad can he be? And you know, so I'm not going to sit here and rip the Giants that they made the move to get him. I'm kind of putting more of the onus on the actual player. And he's getting nothing but opportunity and to be the guy there in that spot. And he just is, especially last night.
But you look back on it. I mean, it's a two different styles of quarterbacks where Brady's got the ball out of his hands very, very quickly compared to, and it's the style of offense too, as compared to what Eli is very comfortable in doing. And that's being a downfield thrower, as you saw last night against the Atlanta Falcons. So the responsibilities of an offensive lineman are significantly different, Taz, when if you have a quarterback that's basically gets rid of it within a second and a half after the snap and one that maybe holds on to it to give long pass pattern plays a little bit longer of a time to develop, that would consistently now. That would be you would have different responsibilities as an offensive lineman. He has certainly struggled, but so has, you look at Pat Shurmur, and I've got an issue with Shurmur, a couple things. Number one, I still don't understand. And you know, you score a touchdown, it's 20-12,
right?
And you decide to, under 5 minutes to go in regulation, fourth quarter now, and you decide to go for two there. Let's hear from the head coach, Shurmur, after the game, his explanation. Down 20-12, mind you, kicks the extra point, it's a one-score game.
Right.
Goes for two, misses it, then it's a score and a two-point conversion just to tie the game. Let's hear from the Giant head coach after the game.
I just felt like, and you know, we've discussed, you know, internally the math on that. I felt like we had a good play, and I liked our 2-point play selections, and we just didn't quite get it done. You increase your chances by 50% if you go for it and make it there. So that's what you do. Because then if we score a touchdown, we just kick the extra point and win. And I felt good about the 2-point play. You guys saw that. I think we got the ball in there, right? And we just didn't connect on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at the analytics. So basically his explanation is that if he goes for two there, they have a better chance of winning the football game by going for two there than playing for overtime.
Yeah,
When you get to overtime, it's a 50-50 proposition of whether or not you're going to win the football game. Everyone's going to get a possession unless you give up a touchdown.
Not a fan of the whole mathematic thing with football. I'm not a fan of the percentage thing. It seems like you and I might be on the same page on this. I'm kicking the extra point here. What are you doing?
No, I would kick the extra point. I didn't understand why. I get he's gonna base that on analytics, Taz, but I think you gotta, if you decide to go for two and you love your 2-point packages, then do what Vrabel did in London for the Tennessee Titans against the Chargers and go for two late from the 1 yard line. I mean, you and I disagree. I hated the play call. I didn't mind the call of deciding to go for it and trying to end the game there for the Titans. I hated the play call going empty,
giving
the defense the feel of what you're going to do, and you are throwing the football there. But do it that way. I would not have gone for two there because I also think it stymies momentum to an extent, too. Kick the extra point. You're coming off the field after a failure. The Falcons now know it's an 8-point game. They realize that they can't lose it in regulation. You still have to hold them, score, 2-point conversion just to tie to get it to overtime.
Yeah.
I hate the play.
I do, too. I do, too. The Falcons, actually, what was it? Probably it was 3rd and 9, I believe. It was probably about 3 minutes down when they got the ball. 3 minutes or so left in the game. And they had a huge first down, a big throw from to Ridley, from Ryan. I thought that was the dagger, but then the Giants got the ball back. What did they have, like a minute 50 left? A big throw
about a minute 50, right. Yeah, big throw down to Shepard. Then the play call in late, the two quarterback sneaks by Eli Manning.
Well, that made no sense whatsoever.
But I wanted to touch upon something else on Shurmur before we transition.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I've got an issue with from him last night is he's got to stop with the reactions on the sideline in terms of where Eli throws the football and where he doesn't.
I think you're right.
He's got to stop.
I think you're right.
Like, there comes
that.
A point in time where you're the head coach of the football team. I understand that you have to be true to your personality, but knowing where this team is at this stage and knowing where your quarterback is at this stage and how big of a diva that Odell Beckham Jr. can be at times and the attention that he is seeking, if you're Pat Shurmur, And I get he's an offensive mind, and he's looking at where he wants the football to go. You cannot. Honestly, it's like the third time this year where the camera has caught him screaming about or yelling intensely about what Eli Manning is doing with the football. Taz, he's got to stop.
Throw to Beckham.
Well, he's got to stop. He's got to stop.
Horrible.
It's a terrible
look. It's embarrassing.
But you want to talk about things keeping stuff in house.
Oh,
he's
got
to stop because he's adding fuel to the fire.
To your point, could you ever imagine, could you imagine Andy Reid doing that or Belichick doing that?
No.
Never in a million years.
Well, they're not going to do it. You're right.
No.
Because you know what? They're smarter than that.
Yes.
And that's where you get on Shurmur. He's got to stop. Enough.
That's
because
sad.
He's not helping the cause out. He's making it worse. Because you know what? Everyone's watching it. Even the guys that cover and gals that cover the NFL that are sitting there down in Atlanta at that brand spanking new stadium, they're watching it as well, and everyone's tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, players are being asked about it after the game.
Yeah.
So you're adding more fuel to fire. He's got to stop.
Yeah.
Someone has got to talk to Pat Shurmur and say, you got to stop. You can't. I get you're frustrated. I get you know where you want the football to go. You can't have that kind of reaction on the sideline.
This is showing you that he's a rookie head coach. This is a guy.
Well, second time he's been a head coach. Though.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, how long was he an OC for two past?
Oh well, he was an offensive coordinator in Minnesota, right?
That's what I'm saying. I misspoke. So coming out of being an OC for such amount of time, I think he forgot what you're supposed to do and not do. You can't show your hand like that. And you're right. He's shown his emotion. And it's okay. You see, John Gruden shows emotion. He's done that for years. It's different, though. It's a different type thing. I'm with it. It was awkward. It was awkward seeing how he acted.
But Taz, I don't mind guys showing emotion.
It's different. Right. It's different.
It's different when we've seen Zimmer show emotion. We've seen Gruden show emotion, probably first go around more so than second. We've seen guys do that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So
this is different, though.
I don't mind guys showing emotion. You cannot read their lips where they're calling out a player. Like he's basically calling out his quarterback about where he's throwing the football. Like that's got to end. We criticize players for not keeping things in house.
Right.
We criticize players for not doing it
all the time.
And now you got a head coach on the sideline that is clearly upset and bothered by the fact that Eli Manning earlier in the game in a goal to go opportunity that the Giants on fourth down decided to go for it and. He did not deliver the ball where he expected Eli to throw the football, and that was Odell Beckham Jr. on a quick slant or quick out, and he had an angle on the defensive back or the linebacker that was covering him, and you go to the sideline, and you see basically the reaction from the head coach saying, throw it to Odell. Why? Throw it to Odell. Like, you can't be doing that. I know it's because I feel bad for Eli.
Oh, my God. I know.
You feel bad for Eli because then after the game, as this one goes final, you see Shurmur hugging Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr.
He loves Beckham. He loves
him. And then Eli's standing there, and it gets to a point where you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I know. That's why they take, you know, these coaches, they take that gigantic laminated paper they have with all the plays on it, and they cover their mouth all the time.
Well, but I get that when you're reading lips.
Right.
When you're calling the play.
Right. Cover your face. Cover your mouth. If you see pitchers doing in baseball when they leave the mound early, a guy stinks it up on the mound, and the skipper comes out, takes him off out of the game. You see them when these pitchers, they put their glove over their mouth. You know they're cursing at themselves or their coach. but you can't read their lips. You got to be a little discreet somehow. You can't put a shower curtain in front of you.
You got to cover yourself up somehow. Right, but you can't do that. Honestly, that's got to come to an end.
Especially when you have your clock management and the play calling at the end of the game, if you're Pat Shurmur, you can't be doing that. And we've spent a lot of time on the Giants. For the Atlanta Falcons, you know, they keep their playoff hopes alive. They need to win a football game. It was a Monday night game. They're home. They've still got issues defensively, Taz.
They do.
They're not a particularly good defense, but they've got Julio Jones, Ridley, Sanu, Tevin Coleman running the football, Matt Ryan throwing it. I thought Ryan was okay. Their offensive line struggles at times and did last night. They can't really run it consistently like they used to. But they for their team, they needed a win, and they found a way to win it.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, Matt Ryan, I think he played actually really well. He was 31-39. He threw for 379 yards with one TD, no interceptions. So, you know, to me, that's a pretty solid, strong performance. But, you know, you're not going against, like, the best defense in the league here in the Giants. But, you know, they did play better in the second half, like you said earlier, the Giants' defense. But, yeah, no, I thought the Falcons looked okay. I mean, they got a plethora of weapons, as we know. Remember early in the year, we were talking about their red zone issues? You know, remember that? I think it was that week two or week one. A lot of people were talking about their red zone issues.
Yeah, it was issues last year. We talked about after the Eagle game.
First Thursday night game. I can remember the game.
Yeah.
You know, they've worked on it. I mean, look, they're, you know, they're promising. They're there. I mean, you know, you let the Giants stick around and come back and at home, and they're a stinky team, and you let them outscore you in the fourth quarter. That's concerning because the Giants scored 14 points in the fourth quarter where the Falcons scored 13. I mean, we're splitting hairs. That's 1 point. I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Falcons won the game. That's what matters. And like I said, they're 3-4 now. We'll see how things pan out for them.
Yeah, let's hear from their quarterback and their head coach. Here's Ryan and Quinn after the win.
We have confidence in the run game. We have confidence in the pass game. And, you know, whatever's hot that day or whatever our advantage is, we feel good about going either direction.
It was in the fourth quarter, and we'd kicked a 50-yard field goal, and we came back. The defense went 3 and out, and on the ensuing drive, 9 plays, a touchdown drive, capped off by Tico to make the game 20-6. Those are the moments that we've been searching for to find to make sure when they come, one group gives it to the next, and they pass it and keep going.
Yeah, Tico is Tevin Coleman, if you didn't know the nicknames for the Atlanta
Tico.
Falcons. Yes, Tico. Yeah. So that is Dan Quinn, their head coach, is the Falcons, as he believes defense, offense working together, brought up the example last night. The broadcast to me on ESPN is very difficult. I love Tessitore.
I love him, too.
I like Joe Tessitore.
I'm with you. I love Joe Tessitore.
I think he does.
I think he's great.
I think the excitement level is there. He's good for Monday Night Football.
Right.
I agree. I think it works. I think his voice cuts through. I think he's got a nice presence about him. Hairstyle's a little strange, but I think he's got a nice presence about him.
Play-by-play, guys. Now, a little freaky.
Well, now, the other two, Booger and Witten are very, very difficult to listen to.
They yell at you during the Booger in the Apple pick or whatever. He's preaching to you. He's yelling at you throughout the game, and I feel like I'm in watching film of a game when I played in college on a D2 level, and our captain, not the coach, our captain was yelling at us. Our senior captain was yelling at us for making mistakes here and there. That's what it felt like. I'm getting yelled at in my den by Booger. Sitting in a, I don't know, what is it?
The Booger Mobile.
He's in like this thing that, I don't know. There's nothing funny. There's no humor in
the perch.
There's no humor in the thing. They're on cameras. What's his name? The tight end. Witten?
Witten.
Bro.
He did have a nice purple suit on last night, though.
I think it might have been a blue, but I digress. I think check the TV settings on that.
This is a joke.
Listen. Oh, okay. I went over my head. Sorry. Listen, here's the thing. I'm just letting you know something. The on cameras.
Yeah.
Are so awkward with Witten, they're setting back TV. They're setting back the television industry. He's like a robot. It's horrible to watch. It's the most awkward, and they keep doing them.
Well, I mean, they got no other choice in. They're all in. They're all in on Witten.
Do a wide shot. I just don't want to see him.
I got you.
He's awkward, and he sounds like a robot. There's no entertainment in the show.
Well, I think they're hoping the game.
Joe Tess is entertaining.
I just think they don't. At times they don't let the game just be the game. They're just talking over constantly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just constantly.
Well, and they don't let the game breathe.
Booger likes the hot takes.
They don't let to breathe.
Moose. Booger yeah. Like Booger likes.
Well,
the hot
yeah,
takes.
He does give you some
a lot of hot
take.
Cheese.
Well,
hot
not just that, but I mean, they're the you know, last night Beckham's run to go to the bathroom, and they're making out the big deal, and then. You know, Booger has to talk about how the fact he, you know, when he used to go to the bathroom, sit on the bench and relieve himself and then get up and go on his merry way when he was a player for
that
the Tampa
awesome
Bay Buccaneers.
That was awesome TV. I remember that last night.
Yeah, it was great. Wonderful TV.
Hot cheese.
Remember a couple weeks ago, wasn't he showing his ring?
His ring. He might
was,
be right.
Yeah, he was showing
I might have missed
ring
that brilliant
on, what was
segment.
He's, I, the thing is, there's it's a hard list. I didn't know you were going to bring this up, but I could go on, and I know you can too. It sucks.
Oh, it was just.
I feel bad for Joe Tess.
Well, it's a tough watch. I mean, it's very, very tough watch.
It's just not good. It's no. Look, Phil Simms always called games like he didn't yell at you. Phil Simms.
Yeah,
was
I
not a humorous guy. I liked him too, but he had a way of balancing.
I don't think you necessarily have to be there, you know, cutting jokes.
No, but
I also
have
think
you've
got.
Fun,
well,
you know?
I think you also have to just have a way about you, and I think you could tell that. Number one is that Witten's never done it before.
You gotta have.
He's got
no personality, bro. None.
No. Well, it doesn't come across on the air. No. Maybe it'll develop over the course of time, but it does not come across on the air.
Man, he's as warm as like a freaking ice cold slab of bologna or liverwurst or some kind of cured meat.
Right.
It's horrible.
And I'm not huge into broadcasters. You know, in terms of whether or not if someone's bothering me, I turn it down.
Yeah.
It gets to a point though, especially when you're watching a game where they don't let the game breathe at all.
They don't. No, they need Vince McMahon in their ear producing them. Oh, he'll fix them.
Yeah, I'm
tell
sure.
From experience.
855-212-4227. That is your number to call. Amari Cooper is now a Cowboy. We'll get into that. Your reaction to Monday Night Football as well. The Giants 1-6. The Falcons, a much-needed victory to keep their hopes alive. Ryan, that offense looking good. Dan Quinn getting that defense rounded in as well. It is Taz. It is Moose. It's a Tuesday morning at CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, well, yeah.
Player of the Week brought to you by Granger, Taz. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week, it's Marc Gasol. Talented big man for the Grizzlies. Scored 18 points, grabbed 13 boards. As the Grizz held off the Jazz, 92-84. Low-scoring affair in Salt Lake City. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com.
A little Taz and Moose fantasy football chatter. Noticed there was a big trade that looks like it might be going down if it's not official yet.
Yes.
Between you, the Moose, and one man named Pete Gass.
Yes, we worked out a deal.
You want to explain it?
Kerryon Johnson for Mike Evans.
For that's your right. Chimney?
Yeah.
Yes, for my chimney. But here's the thing.
I didn't think of that. There's some
Pete.
Involvement there.
There's no involvement there. It's
shady,
not,
man.
No, there's nothing. It has nothing to do with Joe the Mason.
Joe the Mason.
I wish it did, but it had nothing to do with Joe the Mason. But anyway, Pete Gass, so we work at it. He sends me, after we talk about the Mason and Joe and everything like that, you know, he texts me and he's like, want to work out a deal. And finally, he makes me an offer. And then I think about it. I said, all right, I'll make it. I'll do the deal. Send it in. So he sends it in. And literally like 15 minutes later, he goes, I don't know if you know this. You have to accept the deal. I go, yeah, no, I understand.
Dude.
I go, the Monday Night Football game hasn't even started yet. I go, the deal's not going to go through instantaneously.
He kind of got on my nerves yesterday, too. You know
and
what he did?
Well,
So then
I said, I text him. I'm like, Pete, I go, the game's still going on. I will. And then about an hour into the Monday Night game, I accept the deal. And get that done, and no response. I text him back. I'm like, yeah, I accepted it. No response.
Nothing.
I love Pete. He's great. He's a very nice guy. Very good guy. But I already told you. I gave my word. The deal's going to get done. It's a done deal. I'll accept the trade. You're not going to get Mike Evans instantaneously, though.
Yeah, see, he's panicked. He texted me. Not text me. He DM'd me yesterday during the show, and I didn't realize that, so you don't notice. He said to me he was looking for a wide receiver. And he said, what area do you want to upgrade? And I wanted to say, first off, bro, why do you think I want to upgrade? I'm flying right now. My team is phenomenal. I'm sitting in fourth place. I'm in a great spot
right now.
That's not
phenomenal.
No, but I'm on my way up. I'm not, you know, exploding right away.
Did you win this week?
Yes.
Oh, so you're 4-3.
I destroyed the what's his face? The JJ. Destroyed him.
So the well, JJ 3-4.
Hey, so you're, Mike, relax, okay?
So you're a 3-4 football team.
Yeah, but okay.
That's not exactly like ascending.
No, but,
well,
but I'm on the come up. I'm on the come up, as the kids are saying.
Well,
but
he's coming off a loss.
I know. No, no, I won this week. What do you mean I come off a loss? I won. I beat JJ. Why is he saying, Mike, I beat JJ?
Well, you said the standings say you're 3-4.
Oh, no, you said that.
No, that's what Bisseglia
said. Oh, Mike said that. Mike, believe it or not. Mike, what's the deal?
No, you lost to JJ.
No, I won. Oh, because I looked at it before the Monday night game. He had Beckham, didn't he?
I don't know his roster.
He has a giant.
But
he might have Barkley or Beckham.
So you lost the game. I mean, come on. Honestly,
yeah,
really,
I didn't look at this. I won him 4-3.
But the game, but that's the one game left to go.
Okay, take that all out of the podcast.
No, he had Odell. What are you doing? Hold on.
Well, see, he had Odell. I didn't realize
you're
that.
See, wait Moose, a second.
He had Odell.
I understand.
Moose,
he won the game.
I know. I didn't know he had Odell.
You lost. You're selling me and everyone else a bill of goods that didn't happen.
But that's not the crux of my story.
You know what's the crux of the story?
Because Pete Gass came at me during our show at around 6:01 a.m. Eastern yesterday, asked if I wanted to upgrade. Why is he assuming I want to upgrade? And then I don't get a chance because I'm doing a national radio show, Pete. I'm co-hosting that with someone, and right. We're doing a show. And then I go home, and I go to my home studio, and I do a wrestling podcast, Pete Gass. So then Pete sends me Moose at 5 p.m. out of nowhere. So that means you have no interest? Because I didn't reply to him.
Well, you should have replied.
I've been busy. I didn't get a chance.
Oh, but that what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
So then what he does, he jumps from me to you.
Well, that's fine.
That's what he did.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. But I know somebody who gets very bothered if there's not a quick response to a text.
Yeah, Mikey B sucks at
that's
that.
Not true. That's not the person I'm referring to.
AB.
That's not. No, AB's not on group text.
No, I could have denied. I
no,
could've,
it's
I could've,
not Bilotti
I could've,
either.
I could have denied
is
this.
Is it me?
I could have.
By a process of elimination, okay. We're down to one.
I got it. I could have denied. We all get it. We got it. I could have denied this thing. You know, I could have. I was so close when it said, "Do you want to reject this?" You know, members in the
right.
Dude, I was so close because because of the knockout pool that I got knocked out of.
It's nothing. One has nothing to do with the other.
No, but I took the high road.
Here's my message, to Pete. You could have had my team is terrible. You could have my whole team. Help me out with the Mason.
Way
get
to
that
be
price
in.
Down.
Way to be all in, Moose.
Way to get the price down. I got
if we had a little shekels on this, you'd be all over this thing, though, wouldn't you?
My team's terrible. Well, next year, maybe we'll have it on, like I mentioned.
You didn't do it right. You know that.
I had a responsibility.
You
your team's
teach.
Terrible. Didn't you hammer me yet this week?
I did.
I probably beat you, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm phenomenal.
I did beat you this week.
Okay. Mike, can you just tell us?
Somebody I don't know what's going on with our league. Somebody let go of Lamar Miller.
Who did that?
I picked him up on waivers this week.
Lamar Miller?
My team's terrible.
Somebody let go of Lamar Miller. I was like, who the hell did that?
Who had him? Wow.
He was owned by like 80% of Yahoo leagues, and someone let him go. I was like, who did this?
I didn't do that, did I? Because I had somebody.
You might have.
Well, someone had to do my team for me one week. Well, I wasn't able to do it.
Stop.
I'm telling you the truth. You don't believe me.
Who's running your team?
No, I'm running it, but then I had someone.
Your brother-in-law is running the team?
I got many brother-in-laws.
I understand. So which one's running
sketchy.
The team?
I got one of them, Gibo. He might be one.
Very nice. Bogus. Take it away, brother.
Oh, thanks. This report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. After Monday night in Atlanta, the Giants are 1-6. Many would argue they are definitely that bad, but not Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't feel like we're a 1-6 team. That's what our record is, but it's not the feeling in the locker room. It's not the feeling when you go out on the field. It's just not the feeling. It's reality, but that's not the way it feels.
Beckham caught 8 passes for 143 yards and a score last night, but dropped a 2-point conversion that slowed a fourth quarter rally. The Falcons winning their second straight 23-20. Matt Ryan completed his final 18 passes, finishing 31 for 39 for 379 and a score. Tevin Coleman scored on the ground, and the Atlanta D sacked Eli Manning four times.
By the way, sorry, my mic is on, wise guy. Yeah, so that drop by Beckham, by the way, that ball was behind him. I know the money he's making, and with his hands, he should catch anything near him.
Yeah,
that was not a good throw. That ball definitely was behind him, and he had to shift his body there.
It was slightly behind him. He's got to make that catch.
He's got to make it. I know.
The ball hit him in the hands.
It wasn't a perfect throw.
It wasn't a perfect throw, but...
his opposite hip. That's what it was.
I get it, but let's be real. Taz, we've seen him make
catch.
He's got to make the catch.
The guy can catch the ball with two fingers.
The ball is right there for him to make
the catch. He's got to catch the ball, right. Eli's not taking a perfect throw, but he's got to make that catch. He's got to make the catch.
The worst throw was in the second quarter when he was wide open in the end zone, and Eli missed him by about 10 yards.
That was hard.
Right.
And then some throws, Eli was great.
If you watch Eli's reaction, Beckham didn't run the right route.
He got on Ingram in the second half for doing the same thing, running the wrong route, and he got on Beckham.
Beckham did not run the right route where Eli was throwing it. I'm not telling you it was
a
great throw.
You're right about that. I'm trying to remember. But he did.
You see the reaction, and Eli made eye contact with Beckham and basically was saying, "What the hell are you doing?"
And then Shermer was like, "What are you doing? It's the wrong route." He didn't cover his mouth.
No, he did not. He didn't cover his mouth with the laminated.
He's
not going to call out Beckham.
No,
he loves him.
No, they did catch him yelling at Eli
basically
after.
Basically give him a shoulder massage at the end of the game.
It's okay.
Over shoulder pads. Okay. It was
OBJ,
like the strangest
OBJ,
thing ever.
OBJ. Yeah, it's okay.
Cowboys, but, go ahead. Sorry.
You were saying something.
He's got an update to get through.
Yeah.
The Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper yesterday, first-round pick to Oakland.
Heard about that.
The Raiders now have three first-rounders in the next draft and then two in 2020. Meanwhile, Cardinals corner Patrick Peterson reportedly wants out of the desert as soon as possible. Head coach Steve Wilks said yesterday, trading Peterson is out of the question.
You know where he wants to go?
Anywhere.
Saints.
Yes.
His cousin was on the social media and started chirping. I'm sure he appreciated that, unless he told him to do it. Yeah, he wants to go to the Saints. I want to go to the Saints. Who doesn't want to go to the Saints?
Right? He's an LSU guy.
Well, no, I'm just saying they win. Yeah, but sure. I got the Louisiana thing, but still, he wants to go to the Saints. But
I'd want Arizona.
Me too. I'd want out too.
The Jaguars will start Blake Bortles Sunday in London against the Eagles. The Dolphins will start Brock Osweiler Thursday night against Houston. LeBron James still winless as a Laker.
DeMar DeRozan out to LaMarcus Aldridge, left of the key. Hands to Mills. Shot is on the way and good. It's a two-pointer for Patty Mills with 6.8 seconds remaining in the game. The Spurs have taken the lead 143-142.
That's Bill Schoening on Spurs Radio 143-142. The final in OT at Staples. Mills' jumper came after LeBron missed two free throws, up one with 12 seconds left. And after the Lakers led by six with 55 seconds to go in OT, LA is now 0-3. Washington outlasted Portland in OT 125-124. The Warriors dropped the Suns 123-103. Memphis a 92-84 win in Utah. The T-Wolves beat the Pacers 101-91. And the Mavs beat the Bulls 115-109. Dallas is 2-1. Over 500 for the first time since the end of the 2015-16 season. Game one of the World Series at Fenway tonight. Dodgers, Red Sox starting at 8:09 Eastern. Chris Sale and Clayton Kershaw on the mound. And jury deliberations continue this morning here in New York in the federal trial of corruption in college basketball recruiting. The jury spent 5 hours discussing matters yesterday. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, tough topic here, Moose. I mean, for a lot of people that maybe didn't see Monday Night Raw last night, Roman Reigns, who was the Universal Champion, had to relinquish his title, and he announced that he has leukemia.
Yeah, terrible.
It's heartbreaking, sad. He had it when he was younger. I was watching the football game, and I caught some of the highlights of Raw, like some of the clips of Raw, I should say. This wasn't obviously not a highlight, but you get my point. And, it was he had it when he was a younger man. Now, for those that don't know, Roman Reigns played football in college. He played at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And then I believe Roman, when he was 22, he had leukemia, and he had no job. He had no money. And then he was about to become a dad. Football was done for him. And then the WWE took him in. You know, his history, his family's history, his success in the wrestling industry with the WWE and the McMahon family. And then he came in, obviously had a great career. And now, apparently, it's back, the leukemia. And
terrible.
this was news to me, and I think I would say the massive bulk of the pro wrestling community and the industry, this was like a shocking moment. Like, I never knew that he had that in his younger age. I didn't know that. He's a fighter. He's tough as hell, and everybody just on social media just supported him immensely. And it's very sad. It's very sad, but, you know, hopefully he can battle through this. And you know, some people are like, well, what about his career? Well, forget about his career. This guy's a dad. He's a, you know, he's got a family. It's just about his life. It's not about wrestling. And I just thought we should, you know, just make a quick note.
No question about it. His speech on Raw last night, I think was very, very touching.
Heavy.
Yeah, and you feel for you feel for him and his family of his battle that he's going through right now, and thoughts and prayers with him and his family as he battles leukemia for a second time in his life, and.
Yeah.
Relinquishes his championship belt and places it in the mat as he walks out of the ring last night on Monday Night Raw in a very, very emotional scene. And he should get all the support on social media and all the thoughts and the prayers and the love and the well wishes. I think that comes part and parcel with that announcement, which was a surprising one.
Shocking.
Not just the wrestling community, but certainly across the sports entertainment landscape.
Yeah, and I think you said that well, the sports entertainment landscape, because Roman has done a lot with mainstream sports. Like I just mentioned, being a big-time college football player. You know, we just saw him a few weeks ago on ESPN College Game Day. He was making picks.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's been here on CBS Sports Radio on several shows. I know Tiki and Tierney had him on a couple years back.
Yeah, he's been on the Today Show.
He's all over. He's a big star. And the good thing is what Roman says, he goes, this is not a retirement speech. Like, he feels he's going to kick the ass of this. He's going to come back. He's been living with leukemia for 11 years, and it's back. So, you know, he's got a big fight on his hands here, and we wish him nothing.
Well, it's been in remission for 11 years.
Right, that's what I meant to say.
Right, so it's been in remission for 11 years. He had it when he's 22, so he's, what is he, 33, 34?
He's 33, yeah.
33 years of age, so it's come back, and so hopefully... He's going through all the treatment that he needs to go through, which is a very, very difficult onset, but the fight is very difficult. But we wish Roman and his family all the best, and certainly thoughts and prayers with Roman Reigns and everybody. And that was a very, very emotional scene last night, Monday Night Raw.
I think it's important to bring up 2 minutes before we go here, go to break. I want to say this. For those that are casual fans of WWE, even maybe hardcore fans of WWE, you might be thinking that WWE made him go out and make this, cut this promo, make this announcement. They don't. When these, I've been part of the company when there's real life stuff outside of the show. They don't make you do that. You either say you'd like to, or they might say as performers, sometimes you want to tell the public because you are a public figure. I'm willing to bet anything and everything I have that nobody in the WWE front office or the brass made him do this.
Okay.
He did this on his own. I just want to make that clear, and just to put WWE, just to let people know that they're not like that. No one's going to do that there.
Gotcha. So everyone has now full information about how that whole thing goes down.
Yeah.
It is Taz, it is Moose, it is CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. So the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, as they come off a loss 20-17 down in Washington on Sunday against the Redskins and their hated division rival, coming off the comments from Jerry Jones about a week and a half ago where he said they haven't had a number one wide receiver in quite some time, and that ticked off Dez Bryant, who was cut before the start of the year, was due to make $12.5 million, make a trade with John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders as they had the former Alabama Crimson Tide star Amari Cooper. He is now a Dallas Cowboy, and they give up a first-round draft choice to the Oakland Raiders, as the Raiders now will have three number ones in this upcoming 2019 NFL draft, their own, the Chicago Bears from the Khalil Mack trade, and the Dallas Cowboys from the Amari Cooper trade. So three number ones for John Gruden. And the fallout is this. I mean, I think the Cowboys got ripped off. And I like Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think he's a good player. I think he's underperformed at times. As of late, he's been a little bit banged up too. There's been one game this year where he's played like a number one wide receiver, has gotten the football like a number one wide receiver. To give up a first-round draft choice for Amari Cooper, that's, to me, too heavy of a price. You want to give up a two, you want to give up a three, a number one pick for Cooper, I think that's too heavy of a price.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, Moose. I mean, I'm with you. It is a heavy price. I mean, and I like him, too. I think Cooper's very good.
He's a good player.
He is a good player.
He has not been the player many expected him to be when he was drafted by the Raiders. A top 10 pick coming out of Alabama.
Would you look at him as the top Raider receiver?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I
don't think Jordy Nelson's got much left.
No, I know. He looks like he's gonna, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Martavius Bryant, he's got a lot of issues. I think Martavius Bryant is better as a two or a three, as a deep threat like he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, than being that number one guy. Yeah, I do think he was the lead dog for the Oakland Raiders, and I think the Dallas Cowboys showed their desperation and showed their hand by giving up. And I view first-round draft choices as being big-time assets.
Yeah, young franchise guys you're going to build.
Yeah,
I mean that's what they are.
That's it.
I mean, we're seeing it right now in the NFL.
This is a win-now mode. You're going to have to pay them a ton of money next year.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant was too rich for your blood. You didn't want to pay him $12.5 million this year. I think Amari Cooper's due to make, over $14 million next year?
Yeah, it's
insane. Which is a lot of money. I think the Cowboys got ripped off. I mean, that's it. And I know the report out there, the Redskins and another team, the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, were willing to give up second-round draft choices for Amari Cooper.
But
I would not base anything I do based on what the Washington Redskins do, because they are a poorly run organization.
They've been winning, so you should be happy. But the thing
they're
is,
they're not going anywhere fast. Historically speaking, they are poorly run.
You're probably right about that. But the look, I'm a Met fan. I'm a Met fan. I get it.
Probably. I am right.
The thing is, like, I look at this like the other side. I look at the Raiders side. I look at the Gruden side, and this is just like when a coach comes in into a college program. And he starts basically, you know, he wants to recruit his own class. This is Gruden. He's recruiting his own guys. He wants to bring in guys out of college, first round picks. He wants his guys. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying I agree with him. But to let someone like we just, you know, a while back, recent, as, you know, Khalil Mack go away and the Cooper deal to get first round picks, I get it. But then I was saying to Mikey B before the show, I was like, wow. You know, you're going to go into Vegas now soon here with this franchise, this Raider franchise. You got to fill that big-ass stadium in a new market and all that stuff, a market full of transplants, okay? And who are your franchise guys? Like, you know what I mean? Because who knows? I mean, Derek Carr could be on the chopping block before we know it.
I don't think Carr is long for the Oakland Raiders either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think he'll be gone as well, because I don't think he's a Gruden type of quarterback. Yeah,
I do get your point, right?
I do get it. But I also think year one, people are going to show up at that stadium because the football's in Las Vegas.
Right. Well, yes.
So
my biggest
narrative is, though, about
bringing his own guys.
And I agree with you. I think but then he's got to admit, he's being asked time and time again, are you tanking? No. Well, right. He's tanking.
He's got a 10-year deal, bro.
He traded Khalil Mack. Now he trades Amari Cooper. Carr will probably be gone. It's not his set of guys. It's not his team, and he's looking at the assets, so he better hope the 2019 draft class is off the charts great, because the Raiders are going to be heavily vested into that draft class. And for Gruden, the other thing it does is it takes pressure off of him.
It does.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for him, because he's going to say, wait a second, how do you expect? I'm trading guys away. We're trying to do this the right way and rebuild it. So now, all of a sudden, when he's not winning games, Taz, the pressure's off.
Yeah, well, and that locker room can't be loving Gruden with these moves. I got to be honest. But that win-now mode is gone, and that spot there, that's bottom line. You got guys working their ass off for nothing.
The pigskin pileup comes your way next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.